Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message today comes from the psalm appointed for Reformation Sunday, Psalm 46, which also is the inspiration for the hymn we just sang, Convenience. And as we consider the psalm appointed for Reformation Sunday, I want to bring you a little more into the context so that we have the right picture in our mind as we talk about God being our refuge or our fortress. So when I say God is our refuge or the God of Jacob is our fortress, what image does that evoke? A lot of times when you hear the term fortress, we think of military forts, which makes sense. Fort Riley, for example. However, if you've ever driven past Fort Riley, and honestly, who hasn't if you've ever been to Junction City on I-70, you've seen Fort Riley, and it's fairly open. There's a fence, there's a gate, but you can see inside of it, and that's not really the picture that our psalmist here has in mind. No, what our psalm is picturing is something a little closer to a Civil War fort. And growing up on the East Coast, there were plenty of Revolutionary War, Civil War forts around to look at, with the big, thick walls to withstand enemy artillery, with the ramparts on which the soldiers would stand to repel enemies on ladders, and huge storehouses to feed an entire army during a long, protracted siege. Think of a medieval castle, for example, and you get the idea. And the fortress that the psalmist, which is labeled the Sons of Korah, one of the Levites at the time of the dedication of the temple, what the fortress that they have in mind is probably going to be Jerusalem, built on top of a mountain with well-defended approaches, stores of food, even eventually its own water source. Enough room within the walls for a huge population to squeeze in during a siege and stay safe from their enemies, protected by their God. And that is where we, in this psalm, take refuge. In God, our refuge and strength. Now, there are many reasons why we need a refuge from the world, a refuge to be protected behind. The psalm describes just a few examples in the first couple of verses. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The earth itself is thrown into upheaval. And if you watch the news, you see evidence every year right around hurricane season or tornado season in this area. You see the world thrown into upheaval, the world itself, in ways that it never would have been without sin. After the first sin, the world itself is broken and fallen. We see later on that the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. The countries are at war, there's conflict on every side. If you watch the news, and honestly, these days, who wants to? You see evidence of it all over the world. Society itself doesn't normally take a positive attitude towards the church anymore, especially when we trust in Scripture alone. Society has a rather pluralistic view of faith, that all beliefs are equally valid. We would disagree with that because Christ says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so when the church says that Christ is the only way and the world says everything's valid, suddenly the world doesn't like us so much. For examples, we can just look at the persecuted Christians that we're praying for this week in the weekly announcements, and one of whom was murdered, three more arrested and thrown in prison for belief in Christ. There are temptations to sin on top of this all around us. The world is full of situations that are designed to lead us to trust in the world or trust in ourselves, to question God and his plans and his purpose, to question that God really has our best interests at heart. Satan himself lurks around using all of these things as ways to lure us away from God. He uses every means available. Looking at the world around us, the despair of what is confronting us, the temptations, the societal rejection, all of these things Satan uses, trying to make us fall, to reject God, to put our trust in ourselves. And so we need this refuge, and our refuge from the world's temptations and assaults is in God. Sometimes this means simply taking time away to pray. This is no less than what Jesus himself did on multiple times in the wilderness, on the mountain, in the garden. Jesus, whenever he would become exhausted with the strain of life and ministry, he would go off to a desolate place away from the crowds, away from the people needing his help, even most of the time away from the disciples, and pray. Prayer is a way that we recharge our batteries to bring us closer in to God, bringing our cares and concerns and troubles to him and receiving the strength that he gives us. Sometimes refuge is found in his word. I can't tell you how many times I am in the middle of a difficult situation and a Bible verse that I memorized 15 years ago comes to mind and to help me through this. Other times it is regularly reading the Bible every day helps me to understand God's plan, to put my trust in him, knowing that he has the control over what's going on. Sometimes it is the church itself that provides refuge and sanctuary. After all, the term sanctuary as a place of safety and refuge originates within the church because this room where we are right now, the whole thing, the term for that is the sanctuary. In medieval times, someone could claim sanctuary within a church, and they were protected within the church. Every so often, it happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to others as well, of needing a quiet time in prayer and kneeling at the altar or coming into the church building is a good way to find that. Back in the spring, I went home to visit my family in New Jersey, and one of the trips we made was to the 9/11 memorial, where they have all of this information about the attack and about the aftermath. But the one thing that stuck out to me was the church right across from Ground Zero, which somehow survived everything, and after the dust had settled, became a place of sanctuary and refuge for not only those who had survived, but also for the rescue workers who were going down to work in the rubble. The church itself can be our place of refuge against the temptations and troubles that surround us. So we take refuge and comfort in God because we know that he is in our midst as we gather together with his people to worship him. It's easy for us to get lost and to become separated from our fellow believers, thinking that we are safe on our own, that we don't need other people. But when you're on your own, you become vulnerable. Even behind the walls of an impregnable fortress, you are not safe by yourself. You need help. You need to have others with you, and so we need to be gathered together with God in our midst. While you can meet God in the woods or by the creek, the place God promises to meet you is here, surrounded as we are by fellow believers. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 18 that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. And this does mean that when we gather together with believing friends to share time and encourage one another in the faith, that Jesus is present in our midst. But even more, this is about our time gathering together for worship. In worship, as we gather around God's word and receive his holy sacraments, he is present in our midst. Physically present in the bread and wine of Holy Communion to give us encouragement and strength to meet the challenges that we face every day. He gives us comfort for the times that we are struggling and that we are facing the consequences of sin. So this means that you are not alone. We are united together with one another, with God, with our fellow believers, both here and all of those around the world who confess Christ. And God wants us to be connected to others while he is in our midst. And so ultimately, we have his promise, no matter what, God is with us. We're not alone because God is with us. And that is what one of Jesus' names is, Emmanuel, God with us. He sent his son Jesus as the visible physical manifestation of his presence with us. Jesus walked this earth. He experienced every aspect of our human life. He was tempted and tested the same way that we are, and yet without sin. He was tired and exhausted and needed the refreshment of his Father's presence. He experienced our death and then rose again to continue that presence of God with us. Not only that, but Jesus also sends his Holy Spirit to us to be with us, keeping us connected to him. John writes in 1 John that you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He is in us through our baptism when we receive the Holy Spirit. So when God is with us, we face everything that's coming our way, and we do not have to fear because you are not alone. You don't have to be afraid of this world's temptations and threats because Jesus is greater. When we face the temptation, the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome. When we give in to sin, Jesus, by his blood, redeems us and brings us back to him. When the devil throws his hordes against us, we are not left alone and defenseless because we have a champion on our side who is Jesus, the only Son of God. What a comfort it is that God protects and preserves us, that God is our fortress, that we are not alone to face the trials and temptations of this world, that we are united together with fellow believers, safe in the fortress of God's church. It's not easy to be a Christian in this world. It's not easy to follow our Lord in this world. But you are joined with countless others, fed by his supper, edified by his word. You are united in the single body of Christ in the church, against which the gates of hell shall never prevail. that may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we remain safe in God, our refuge and fortress. Amen.